the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Here's the agenda for the podcast. My goal is to keep it around 40 minutes and keep it chock full of content. First, I'll lead with a quick introduction. Then, we'll give you the equipment check, where we talk about some piece of a technology or other collateral running stuff. Each show will be wrapped around a featured segment, where we interview someone interesting from our running world. I'll follow that with a quick tip derived from my centuries of running experience. We'll wrap it up with some music of our guest choosing from the PodSafe Music Network. Some things we're not going to do. I'm going to try to avoid recording myself while running. All that heavy breathing is just a little creepy for me. And there'll be no extended monologuing. I'm going to try to keep to the facts. If you want the emotional content, you can visit my blog, the Runnerati blog, at www.runrunlive.com. Please leave me an audio comment at, and you better write this down, or better yet, program the number into your cell phone, 206-339-7804, or send me an email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. And thanks for listening. Let me know what you think. Plus, you know, the more comments you leave, the less you have to listen to me talk. So are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey, this is Chris. Got another good show for you today. Got the second half of the Kevin Malloy interview. And let's see here. I've been doing pretty well. I had a little pain in the left Achilles after all the miles I did this past weekend. So I guess I'm going to have to start stretching again. I can tell you all about Achilles. I got a lot of experience there. Heard that from some people that my website, runrunlive.com, that the registration wasn't working, so I'll look into that as soon as I get some more copious spare time. So, on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey, so it's Chris again, and you know the deal. Blah, 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 pond, blah, 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 yada, yada, woods, yada, yada, dog. That's what's going on here. So, hey, I got a key piece of equipment you have to get. I'm as cheap as they come, but I still have one of these. I think actually somebody gave it to me as a present, though, so I guess that doesn't qualify. But you got to get yourself a headlamp. With the LED technology they have now, you can get headlamps that run off of one or two or three AAA batteries that are incredibly bright. And so, you know, it's New England. Right now, we're pretty far north in the hemisphere, so the sun stays up till 8:30 at night in the summer. But in the winter, it only stays up till 3 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon. So you need your headlamp. Helps on the roads, keep getting hit too. But every Thursday night, me and a bunch of folks from the club go out and we run in the woods. And a bunch of us have the headlamps. And if you get more than like two or three people, it basically lights up the whole trail. It's amazing. So, hey, go out and get yourself an LED headlamp. You know, look at it. Get the running one. The sort of toy ones that they sell too aren't really, they're kind of bulky for running. But get the running ones. And then you can, Frank's brother Gordon does is he shuts off all the lights in the house and gives them to his kids and they run around in the dark with the headlamps on. Plus, you know, if you ever have to change the wires in back of your TV, you go back in there, you can't see anything, you can never find a flashlight, right? So you bring your headlamp. So there you go. All right, fur boy, let's hit the trail. Let's go home.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey folks, this is the second half of my interview with Kevin Malloy. If you remember, Kevin is an Australian gentleman, was very engaged in the running scene in New England for a long, long time. and he founded the Groton Road Race. He was one of the founders of the Squanicook River Runners, and he was one of the guys who founded Cool Running. So here we go. More of Kevin.
Awesome. That sounds good. What else are you working on?
Well, I still am trying to keep fit here, but I'm working working with a couple of different websites. One is the ultrarunning.com. I've been their webmaster for about 3 years.
Oh, really? I haven't checked that out. I have to check that out because you may have noticed I'm running an ultra marathon now.
I heard that.
I'm signed up for the Vermont 50. And, well, yeah, I'm getting into the undiscovered territory now where I'm running more miles in, 2 days than I usually would run in 2 weeks. So it's interesting. I'm learning something.
Going to the dark side, are you?
Now, see what happens. You got to keep it fresh.
It's a great publication, the magazine, and the website's there to support it. And Don Allison, our mutual New England running buddy, had it for 5 or 6 years, but he sold it to a couple of guys.
Don started that.
California.
Right.
Well, he actually bought it from somebody else. He actually bought it from someone who actually started it many years ago.
Ultra Runner.
UltraRunning.com. Ultra Run. Magazine's Ultra Runner. Ultra Running. And they're kind of the Bible. They're kind of the Cool Running Runners World equivalent in the non-ultra world.
Yeah.
And I've been looking after their website for a few years, still doing that. I look after Catherine Switzer's website, and who has a lot of history in New England and the Mid-Atlantic states, the Boston, first woman to run Boston. So I've been looking after her.
Right, the famous... The famous Jock Semple photograph.
You got it.
All right,
working with elite runners is something else. They're high maintenance, so that's been a challenge working with her. I do the Team Hoyt. Anyone from New England, Deacon Rick Hoyt. I've been looking after their website for probably 7 or 8 years, and that's fun. Just to know those guys is inspirational in itself.
Yeah, we had them out. We got them back out this year to do the spaghetti supper and give the talk. So we started that again. So that's a nice little tradition. We got started again.
Yeah, I had to beg them for 2 years in Groton. I think it took me 2 or 3 years before they come to Groton. Back in the late 90s. They liked everything, so I've kept our relationship going up with them ever since. And as I said, I guess I'm semi-retired. I've got the running shoe business going down here in Oz with my partner in that is the guy who runs Cool Running Australia, which is a fabulous website. And it's kind of the de facto running portal down here in Australia. And, plus, we have a really good running group. You've got to come down. As I said, this town I live in called Picton, just south of Sydney, we have a running group of about 30 of us, aged from 15 through to about 70, probably similar to Squanicook.
Yep.
We run a little different, but similar. We have a clubhouse, which is the local hotel. We're there at least twice a week. But we do something... Every Thursday night, we do track workout at a local oval. And something I hadn't done in years, didn't think I could do it again. And so I learned how to stretch all over again, which is something I hadn't done in a long time. And so that took us, after we moved over here, there was a kind of a void, because no longer did I have the Squanicook and the Groton Road Race. And
right.
It was about 2 or 3 years where I didn't want to do anything. I still had a real job and I still had Cool Running. But it was strange. I realized how burnt out I kind of was.
Yeah.
From the road race. And that, it just took so much out. 10 years in a row, doing it 10 years straight. I didn't want to do anything in that sort of event management for a few years. And but we came across this, we moved a couple of times, different places, and we came across this town, and And that's when I got involved with the local group, and we actually go out two or three times. We go out Sunday morning to a beautiful trail called Thermal Lakes, which is an out and back. You can go out as far as you want. And we have about 20-odd of us, 15 to 20 of us start, and we all run out for about half an hour or so, and then we run back, and some people, you know, everyone does different distances, and it's a beautiful trail, similar to what I've, similar to the Ogrotten Woods.
Yeah, sure, it's a little less lush, you know, it's a little drier in Australia, where you are, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is part of a national park, so it's...
I'm struggling with my geography again with Australia. I always get stuff upside down like most Americans. So are you in the foothills? In the foothills there?
We're actually in what they call the Sydney catchment. It's actually the water. We're on the edge of the water supply. So we have a fair amount of rain here and a few lakes and ponds and rivers and that. So it has some comparisons to Groton.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I
rural weather. We do get frost because we're far enough out of Sydney, away from the ocean, that we're not influenced by the ocean as much. And so it does get cool, though. You know, you don't get any snow or ice or anything, but it does get down to freezing.
So you'll be out running in the morning, and you'll come across some kangaroos and wallabies and emus and that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
and that's so cool.
I haven't hurled in a while, so we see the odd venomous snake, and occasionally. So you tend to try and hurdle them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good for the old track and field experience. We'll see kangaroos and wallabies and red snakes and black snakes and that. So you just get used to them, you know. They're no big deal. You're usually faster than they are.
Yeah.
You make sure you are. We're in a little estate, a vineyard estate, outside 5K out of town. And got an acre of land, which is nice. There's lots of trails right here. So I just go out right outside, and I can hit the trails. And got a bunch of hills, just like Groton. And it's kind of nice.
It's actually... Are you in that wine growing region? There's some great wines from Australia right there.
Oh yeah, I that's one of my weaknesses. I've got a part of my training regime is to have a glass of red wine every night.
Supposedly it's good for you.
It is good, and a square of dark chocolate. That's you know, I swear by them.
Well, Hershey's and Nestle's are two of my customers in my real world, in my real job. So, so they'll be very happy to hear that.
Okay, unfortunately, it's not neither of those. It's a brand called Lindt.
Oh, Lindt. Yeah, they're in in Switzerland someplace, I think, or
yeah,
something like that.
They make them very dark. They make some. I'm into the 85% cocoa. So, that's. The heavy duty, the main lining chocolate.
Good, I like that stuff. Yeah, I started working. I started working with these guys, and every conference I was in, you know, there'd be a big bowl of chocolate on the table, and I'd go on a business trip and gain 5 pounds.
Yeah, and still running at the same time, still gain 5 pounds.
Yeah, it's chocolate is a very efficient way to put on weight.
Oh yeah. And it tastes good too.
Yeah. So I'll give you my key questions here. So what's tell me your favorite running story. Let me tell one about you that is one of my favorite running stories. Which was, I forget which road race it was, but one of the elites ran off the course at the it was before the race started in Groton, and he ran into the bushes and to relieve himself, and this lady comes marching over onto the course, grabs the microphone from you, and starts cussing the guy out for peeing in her front lawn at the beginning of the race, and you're just standing there dumbfounded. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life.
It wasn't quite as funny from my side of the microphone, but I'll never forget that day. something that wasn't in the race director's handbook.
Something that wasn't in the script.
No, I don't think there's such a thing exists as a race director's handbook. It would be the world's longest book. One of the funniest things, one of the most interesting races was the first Groton Town Forest 10-mile trail run that our mutual friend Paul Funch put on.
Yeah, it's still going.
I know. I track what you guys are doing. And the first one, and Paul knew what he was doing. And I'd met with him a few times beforehand, helping with equipment and, you know, the clocks and all of that sort of thing and that. But none of us really were experienced with trail runs. You know, we're used to following the police car sort of thing on a big road.
Right.
But Paul had spent many years dealing with these guys who just, you knew when to turn left and right and what have you, but none of us did. So he marked it the way he always marked the trail runs. But us Quantico guys weren't used to this woodsy stuff. So all of us got lost. And basically, I think we ended up, it was a 10-mile run, I think we ended up running between 13 and 15 miles that day. But boy, we had a great time. We had a lot of beers afterwards. But the town forest is small. There's literally hundreds of miles of trails, I would guess, through it. They kept crisscrossing each other.
Yeah.
And we kept coming across these intersections, and we had to be... Paul would put a piece of tape on a tree indicating we'd go left or right, but none of us knew how to read it. And we'd show up, we'd come across each other, you know, on a trail.
Yeah.
But which way do we go? And no one knew. And it was good. It was fun. I think he did mark it. He took sympathy on us the next year and had more traditional road race signage, you know, for us.
Yeah, it's well marked now, but that's kind of funny because you see the runners go into the woods and they never come out. It's like, come, they should be coming out sometime. They're all running around. You'll be running along and somebody will be running in the other direction. You go, okay, one of us is wrong.
But we laughed so much. We got a great workout that day. You know, we went in there for 10 miles. We got a bonus 2, 3, 4, 5 miles that day. But we had a few beers on top of that too. You know, so that was one. That's one that stands out as one. You know, one I remember.
So what's so why do you run, or why did you run? You don't run as much anymore. Why do you run?
I still run.
I
did 10K at the Gold Coast Marathon last weekend.
Oh, good for you.
That's
a long. That's pretty far away for you, isn't it?
It's 600 miles.
Yeah.
We went up, and it's a classic event. It's probably the best organized. I would call it the equivalent of the Boston Marathon to New Englanders. It's becoming the classic event in the country. 20,000 plus runners.
Yeah.
It's pretty very well organized, and I've been up there 2 years in a row. But and the other event I love is the Sydney City the Surf, which is on in a month's time. That's the largest timed event in the world, 65,000 runners. They're the two events I like in this. But to answer your original question, I run because I can. Simple as that. And I don't care if it's a race or it's just around the estate here or in the woods. You know, I can run. I love it. And I can do all my thinking or non-thinking. If I want to go and space out in a vacuum, I go and run. Simple. Just any problems that you have disappear after a run. I don't care if you've had a 14-hour day behind the terminal or first thing in the morning. You just go out and run and, you know... Everything is beautiful after that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I wish I could run every day now, you know. But I'll go and do 2 or 3K in the pool now. It's not quite the same because you're looking at a boring black line. But it's still pretty good. It's a similar thing, but it's, you know, I don't care if I run by myself, if I run with 2 or 3 other people or 20,000 people around. It's just as it's just as big a buzz.
Yep, yep, that's great. So have you run across any cool tech toys recently?
It's not so much for running, but I bought myself, I went to the dark side last Christmas and bought myself a Mac.
A Mac, okay.
A Mac. And now I bought myself a second Mac when I was in Hawaii. I've got a Mac Mini connected to a HD television, so I can be watching the sports on this 32-inch plasma screen. I'll be watching the sports, and I can then switch and read my Gmail. Or I can put up some photographs or download. I can subscribe to Run Run Live or what have you, all seeing with a wireless keyboard in my lounge room. And I don't have to be bunched over a desk anymore.
So you've converged technologies in your rumpus room there.
You got it. I still have an old PC hanging around, you know, that I use occasionally. But I've definitely gone to the dark side now with the Mac, and it's something I should have done years ago. So I'm still learning. It's, you know, what tools I can do. I'm creating a DVD for my new race at the moment.
Awesome.
I've never made a DVD before, you know, and... So that's a pretty cool toy or architecture, for want of a better word.
There you
and
go.
I'm hoping to get an iPhone. The iPhone was released in Australia today.
Today. So what do they cost? Like $1,000 in Australia on the first day?
I'm not going to get one until they realize they've just, you know, they've gone silly. But within a few months, they'll realize that no one's going to buy them at the prices.
Well, if you want, I can buy one for you, and we can smuggle it to Australia. I'm sure you can find the codes to crack it to use your local service provider on the internet.
I might end up by doing that, yeah. But they're such a cool toy, and the applications are still being written that, you know, you'll be able to do anything you want with them, literally, as well as the standard email and browsing. They've got a GPS built in, so you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to track all your running routes as soon as somebody writes an application.
Yeah, if you look at the picture of me on top of Mount Washington, I don't know if you're still on the Squanicook news group there, but I've got my BlackBerry with me. I just finished the race. I'm checking my email, right? I got pretty good connection up there on top of Mount Washington.
You're a bigger geek than I am.
Yeah, well, you know, I need to find myself a .NET Nuke expert to help me with my website. I've been struggling with teaching myself web design, which you did like 10 years ago, so.
You're doing pretty good. I was impressed with what you're doing, the website.
Yep.
And I think it's great what you're doing.
Yep, yep, it's fun. You know, it's not, like you said, it's not commercial, it's fun. Just pass up some sleep.
No, I think. Yeah, and it's you know, you should, I hope you keep doing it. It's hard work to line up.
You've been doing this for, God, 20 years now. What have you noticed? What are the changes you've noticed from, you know, when you started doing this back in the early 90s through today?
Well, you mean the technology or...
No, I mean just in running in general.
That's a good question. I wish I could say that more people are running. I'm not sure if that's, you know, I'm nearly not sure if that's true. It seems to be two extremes, both in Australia and in the U.S. and even in Europe. I think there seems to be two extremes of those people who are conscious about their health and those people who don't care. You
right.
Know, people who just the couch potatoes and never get off the couch, have got more toys to play with, you know, and just a drain on the whole of society. And the other side, who want to, whether they be running or biking or swimming, it doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, as long as they're doing something and look after nutrition and what have you. I see more people want to do, more people are doing things like marathons.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand that because My body's not built for marathons. I've done two, one in Lowell, one in Boston. I heard for months after, you know, and that was years ago. And I can go up to about half marathon and still, you know, sort of survive to talk about it. I'll never do another marathon because, you know, it's my body's not built for it. And,
yeah.
And so I envy people who can do it. But why people want to do, you know, they do a 5K and do a reasonable job of the 5, you know, run a 5K in 30, 35 minutes or something, and then next minute they want to do a marathon. I just don't understand that. You know,
yeah.
It's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing. It puts so much, you know,
it takes...
They'll end up by hating the sport.
Yeah, it takes a good 2 years to build up to a marathon. You know, it's not something, you know, you can train to finish a marathon in 12 weeks, but it takes a long time for your body to adapt to distance running.
And recover as well.
Yeah.
I'm actually enjoying my training, overall training, more than I've ever done, even though I'm a little old and a little slower. But I am enjoying it because, one, I can do it at any time I want, which is great. You know, the weather's good. You go out and do whatever. Jump on the bike. We have a lovely aquatic center nearby, all year round, indoor and outdoor pool, which is great. And sometimes we'll actually run to the pool and run back and that sort of thing. It's you know, a nice combo. But the sport is definitely changing. But I'm not sure how, you know, I'm not sure where it's going to go. I think you'd need someone to do a PhD and look at all the stats. The stats are all there. Someone wants to, you know, they're talking about second boom, third boom, mini boom. I'm not sure. I think running is local.
I think
my partner, Dave Camille, always throws that comment at me, and it is true. You'd have to, you are the better person to say, you know, well, how's the sport in... you know, Littleton and Groton, is it more people running percentage of the population that were running 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
Mm-hmm. I think so. But
I hope so.
Yeah, I think it's good because it's low maintenance, you know, it's easy. Anybody can do it, right? So
that's the key. Anyone can do it. I love the social aspect of it. You know, I mean, I love about Squanicook is when we moved over there, we checked out a few, back in 88, we checked out some local running clubs, Merrimack Valley, Greater Lowell, CMS, and they were so serious. They really took the running seriously.
Yeah.
And so that's why we started Squanicook, because we were a bunch of runners with a drinking problem or a bunch of drinkers with a running problem. We wanted a social club to foster running, you know, through a bit of organization, and that's what we developed. And anyone who wants to do some real serious running will go to one of the more elite New England clubs.
Right.
That's great.
Right,
but they,
best
they,
people.
You know, they were definitely very, quite obsessed with their running, serious about it, you know, and, you know, I think, you know, from what I can see from a distance, I think the Squanicook is a great organization. As far as I can see, it's growing, so that's a good sign. And it's got very mixed age groups, you know, from kids, you know, high school kids and what have you, and through the seniors, you know.
Right. The only problem is I'm the membership director, and once they run with me, nobody wants to run again. We never hear from them again.
I can't comment on that.
Oh, we'll go slow. what kind of music you want me to hook onto these? I'm going to have to split this one in half because we're running somewhere around 50 minutes right now. What kind of music you want me to plug onto this? What's the genre?
You got any AC/DC?
AC/DC, a fine Australian group, or something like AC/DC.
Yeah.
Because I have to use the free to the internet music, not the proprietary music. So I'll find something like AC/DC.
I'm sure you'll find something.
All right, I'm going to let you go.
You've blown 50 minutes, have you?
Yeah, I have. It's like they say in NPR Car Talk, right? You've wasted another perfectly good hour. So now I have to go to work, and you have to go to bed.
That's right. Yep.
So, all right. Cheers from New England. Good day.
I appreciate the opportunity, and good luck with it all.
Yeah.
A chance down here. There'll be a spot on the starting line.
All right. Well, I'll take you up on that. I'll take you up on a spot on your sofa and on your starting line. All right.
Give my best to everyone else back.
Oh yeah, and say hi to Lindsay. And all right, talk to you soon.
Mahalo.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, this is Chris. I'm not running, I'm just breathing hard because I just got off a little fartlek here in the woods. And, I don't know, I suppose I could wrap a joke around that, but I'm not going to. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like 85, sun setting over the hills. This weekend they'll be having the Appleman Triathlon right across the pond from where I'm standing. Nice little local race. Got a great hill in the run. I really like that part. All the swimmers and bikers hate it. It's got this nice single path, gigantic climb in the end. So that's where I eat people up. I remember one year I was running, I passed this kid. He must have been 9 years old, right? And that's the dog swimming in the background. I passed this kid, and he goes like, "Nice running, old man," or something like that. I felt like smacking him. But hey, that's what it is. The pond, there's no wind at all, so the pond has no waves in it. It's really nice. So anyhow, a tip for you. We were talking with, I think I must have swallowed a bug. We were talking with Gary Catterin today. And one of the interesting things he mentioned is late in a race, or even when you're out training, sometimes you just hit the wall and you get tired. And you really got a choice. You know, most of the default choice you're going to make is that you're going to slow down and start running slower until you catch your breath. There's actually an alternative, because sometimes what your body doesn't really need rest, it needs just a change of pace. So you can actually kick up the pace 10, 20 seconds a mile, and it will make you feel better, the same as if you slowed down 10 to 20 seconds a mile. And you'll feel a lot better about yourself at the end there. The other cool thing that Gary mentioned, which really works, is the progression runs, which simply means the last half mile, mile you run, pick it up the tempo pace and bring it in strong. You'll just feel so much better, and you'll be training your body to run strong at the end. So there's a couple of good experience tips for you folks out there. Come on, dog. Look at you. Look at you. He's a nut.
Hey, this is Chris, right on schedule, sitting at about 33 minutes, well under my promised 40-minute time envelope commitment to you all. Hope you enjoyed that. Next episode, I already got it in the can. I'm talking to my friend Gary, who has an amazing story about how he went from 3 years ago when I first met him running at a four-hour marathon pace, you know, just restarted with the sport after 20 years, and this year he ran two sub-3 marathons, one at Boston, and he's going to talk about that and the lessons that we can learn from that. So that's coming up. I'm going to leave you with this band that I picked out for Kevin because he wanted to hear the AC/DC. It's called Adrenaline Factor from the PodSafe Music Network. The song is called Boozin' Susan. And again, if you close your eyes, you can hear Bon Scott. Around.